Thank you, Brother Maxwell. Aren't you glad if he pays attention to the sparrow, he knows all about us. Amen. That's a good message and song for us. My privilege tonight to have my son, Stephen. He came in for whatever this little shindig after church, I guess. And we're glad to have him. And we've asked him to come and bring the message for us tonight. So, Stephen, it's pretty much the same old crowd you left here. A few new ones. Good to see Brother Canals back. You just got in today?
Last night.
Yes, sir. All right. Don't need much more introduction than that, I don't think.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Heard y'all were having a Halloween party tonight, so I came down to get in on that, even though some of you might be in costume, some of you aren't, I don't think, but just teasing a little bit. It's good to see everybody, and thankful that I was at least able to come down and get to be a part of a birthday fellowship. My girls wanted to come, of course, but they'd have had to basically miss a whole week of school, and of course they were for that, but the responsible parents say you're not supposed to miss a week of school, so we'll get to see hopefully our parents and grandparents there for Thanksgiving and Christmas here soon. So we tried to manage it that way. But I'm glad I got to come down. Glad I get to see everybody tonight. Let's go to the Gospel of Mark, if you would, with me, please. We'll go to Mark chapter number 8 this evening and look at a couple verses together. And because of the festivities, I know they got the kids' clubs things going on over there, but I'm try to be brief this evening, best I can. That'll be a birthday present for all of you, I guess, if I'm brief. So we'll try to do that. Mark chapter 8, starting in verse number 22. I want to talk about the issue of spiritual sight. I guess I'll call it being half blind. You ever heard someone say that before, or someone say that about somebody before, that they were half blind? And so we'll look at this starting in about verse 22 of the Gospel according to Mark chapter number 8. It does remind me about that story. I know I've told this a couple times before, but I just kind of feel like it goes with our text tonight. So I wanted to tell you that story about Leroy and Bubba. And they might have been from West Virginia. There's a good chance. But they were taking an entrance exam, not for college, but for a job at the local factory. And you probably heard about this, but I'll remind you tonight. Leroy was called into the office first, and there was a doctor in there. And he asked Leroy if he understood that he'd be hired for the job if he answered the questions correctly. And so the doctor said, "Leroy, what would happen if I poked out one of your eyes?" And Leroy said, "Well, Doc, I'd be half blind." He says, "That's correct. What if I poked out both your eyes?" He says, "Well, I'd be completely blind, Doc." The doctor stood up, shook Leroy's hand, and told him he was hired. Well, on his way out, as the doctor filled out the paperwork, Leroy mentioned the test, the exam to Bubba, and he told him what the questions were going to be asked and gave him the answers ahead of time to help the fella out, you know what I'm saying? And so Bubba came in, and the doctor went through the formalities, and again, he asked the question to Bubba, and he says, "Bubba, what would happen if I cut off one of your ears?" And Bubba's remembering what Leroy had said to him was the correct answer. He says, "Well, Doc, I'd be half blind." Well, the doctor looked a little puzzled, but he went on. He says, "Well, what if I cut off the other ear?" He says, "Well, I'd be completely blind." He says, "Now, Bubba, can you explain to me how you'd be blind if I cut off both your ears?" He says, "Well, Doc, without any ears to hold it up, my hat would fall down over my eyes." So, smarter than you thought right there, huh? Don't let a name fool you, all right? Mark chapter number 8, we'll start reading here in verse number 22. And this is interesting because out of the many miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ performed while he was here on earth, this is the only one I remember reading that kind of went down this way. And we'll talk about that for a moment together. Chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town." Now, Most of us have been through this passage before, whether it was preaching or teaching time, or whether it was reading time or study time. And it is a little bit unique. The Lord Jesus, my dad just preached a message here, was it last year, I think it was, on the spitting image. Some of you might remember that one. So this is not the only time that the Lord Jesus Christ took clay and took spit and did something miraculous, but it is the only time that I remember that he touched somebody and then asked them about it, then touched them again. And so I think that's somewhat unique, and I know that many of us would agree that I don't believe things are in the Bible on accident. I think there's a reason there, and I don't claim to have the answers, but like we often say, there's an old illustration about that, but if you have a question in the Bible, look in the Bible for the answer. Move your thumb and keep reading, right? That's always a good rule of thumb, is to move your thumb and keep reading. Read what comes before it. Read what comes after it. Read what would be a reference or that would complement it. And there's some helpful truths there. And I think this verse or this passage would be very similar. Since verse number 25 says that after he put his hands upon this man's eyes again, and this time as he looked up, he was restored. That means he wasn't partially healed, but he was fully restored, and he saw every man clearly. So when verse 25 says that he saw clearly, it seems to me that Christ was teaching a lesson here. Now, we could say it be to the man that he's performing the miracle on, but I think if you read the context and you understand this passage of Scripture, I really believe the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to relay a lesson to his disciples. Now, I know we're not one of the 12 Jewish apostles, but we are disciples, aren't we? We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are wanting to draw closer to him. We are wanting to take our earthly life and not live it according to the flesh or to the world, but we're wanting to live it after the Word of God and the leading of the Spirit with our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're wanting to live as a disciple for the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that even though these disciples saw Jesus Christ do many miracles, their spiritual sight was still partial and not fully clear. Hence, thus the object lesson that God performed on this man. He fully intend to restore this man's sight back to 20/20 vision or whatever would be the right vision to have, yet he wanted to teach a lesson and a truth at the same time. So to find out what that lesson might be, let's just back up a little bit. Let's use more scripture tonight. Look at verse number 14. You remember the story that where it picks up here, it says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, well, he mentioned leaven, so it is because we have no bread. Leaven, of course, in the Bible represents sin. Leaven in the Bible, of course, represents false doctrine. So he was warning them about spiritual things, and yet they're like me and like some of you. They are more concerned about the physical things, especially when it comes to bread. I've been concerned about bread before. Have you been concerned about bread before? Some of us are pretty concerned about bread sometimes, right? Especially, that bread can take all kinds of forms, can't it? But anyway, let's move on. These disciples had forgotten to bring food. And when he's trying to teach them about spiritual things so that their sight would be fully and further developed, they're still thinking about physical things. Yeah. And we do that sometimes. And he charged them in verse 15. And look at verse 17. It says, and when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, you see not, or see ye not, rather. And having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember. So he's saying, I'm trying to talk to you about something important here. Not about being hungry physically, but I'm trying to talk to you about being what you're supposed to be spiritually, as a disciple, as a follower of truth, and a follower of the Lord God. So he mentions three things here. He mentions their eyes. Are you not seeing like you're supposed to see? Are you not hearing like you're supposed to hear? Are you not remembering? I guess that would have to do with our mind as well. Are you not remembering what you're supposed to remember? It was just a little bit ago that we can read about the people being fed, the big multitudes being fed, and 12 baskets left over, another multitude being fed, and 7 baskets left over. In fact, that's what Jesus will take them back and rehearse to them in the next few verses if we took time to look at it. Look at verse 27. Remember what I said? If you want to have an answer, or if you want to have more information on a question that you might see in the scripture, back up and read a little bit. Maybe go forward and read a little bit. In verse 27, we're going forward. It says, "And Jesus went out and his disciples into the town of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am?" And of course, we think about this passage in Matthew chapter 16. But look at it here. Verse 28, "And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets, maybe Jeremiah." Verse 29, "And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ." Do you see that he was trying to get them to see some things? He was trying to get them to see more perfectly. He was trying to restore their spiritual sight. He was wanting them to see like they are supposed to see. Because they were, if you're not careful, you can be a disciple of the Lord, but you can go around half blind all the time. Amen. It's not good for Leroy. It's not good for Bubba. It's not good for us either, right? Amen. We need to be able to see. We don't need the wool pulled down over our eyes. There's all kinds of things that blind unsaved people today, but there's all kinds of things that blind saved people today. Christians, disciples of the Lord Jesus. I want to make an application to that. Jesus says, you know, he goes back and he reminds them of what he showed them before. And then he takes them forward and he asks them, well, what do you believe? Because your sight, your spiritual sight affects what you believe. And that what you believe affects who you are and what you do. So he's talking to them and dealing with them in this way. By the way, if we had time, we'd go even further in the chapter, and he starts teaching them about what's going to happen at Calvary. He starts teaching them about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Some would think Mark 8's a little bit late, that they already knew those things, but if you just read the verses, you'll see exactly what Jesus was doing at this time. But I want to make application tonight. That's basically the message, because the scripture is the most important thing. But we do need to make an application, because I need to apply it to my life and see more perfectly. You need to apply it to your life. And we need to not be half blind, but we need to have full spiritual sight according to the Word of God. You realize 1 Corinthians 13:12 says that we see through a glass darkly. And sometimes even without a glass, you can start seeing blurry and darkly. That's why you have to get glass and put it in front of you sometimes, right? Now, your sight can be affected. We understand what it means when you're physically looking through something. It obscures some things. There's some things there that you don't just see clearly. And because of this life, because of our human limitations, because of sin in our lives and sin rampant in this world, there's things that we're blind to sometimes. There's things that we don't see sometimes. And believers can be the same way as these disciples. They saw everything. All of us would have said we'd want to be in their shoes or their sandals. All of us would have said, let's follow the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, around this earth, around this planet for 3.5 years, and see the great things happen. Yet Jesus says the ones that were closest to him weren't seeing as good as they were supposed to see. Right. And he had an object lesson for him. I'd say it this way. Before the flood, if you want to go back to Old Testament times for an example, the world saw through a glass darkly, but there was a fellow named Noah who saw clearly. Amen. Right. There, after that, we can keep reading, and there was a fellow named Lot, and he saw the well-watered plains of Sodom, did he not? But Abraham saw clearly. Abraham believed God. He was called the friend of God. Well, you go further and God's nation is formed. And then you remember how they were challenged. Their first king. And then that battle with the enemies of the Lord, the Philistines. All those Israelites gathered together. And the way they saw things, it looked like Goliath was way too big to try to hit. But to David, he was way too big to miss. See, David saw clearly. Israel saw through a glass darkly, but David saw clearly. See, the difference between blindness and sight is Jesus Christ. But then once you're saved, the difference between continued blindness that you have to face in this life and sight is the Word of God. As disciples, we have to follow the Lord. How do we follow the Lord? The Word of God. The Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need a not just an annual spiritual sight exam, but we need sometimes a daily sight exam. Are we seeing what we're supposed to see? Because if you're seeing right, then if you're seeing clearly, let's say it that way, then you're going to make better decisions in this earthly life. Decisions that, of course, represent our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me make application tonight with three quick points. And let's ask ourselves this question. How's your vision? How's your vision? First, let's make the application like my dad often does on Sunday mornings. Let's make an application to the Christians. Let me ask you this. Are you a half-blind Christian? Are you a Leroy or a Bubba with your hat down over your eyes? The 2 Peter chapter 1, let's look at this real quick. These are some good verses to reference tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse number 5. And while you're turning there, I'll remind you, verse number 4 of 2 Peter 1 says that God has given us divine and precious promises and that we are partakers of the divine nature. It talks about that. We have that. We are not of the world. We are not on the same course. We are not on the same path. We don't have the same destiny as those that are in the world, but yet we have something special. We have something eternal. And then verse number 5 continues on that and says, besides this, giving all diligence, this is 2 Peter 1:5, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now here's the verse. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the other side of it. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. How many times have you talked to somebody, they're down, they're discouraged, they're not coming to church anymore, they're not continuing in the faith, they're not growing in the faith in any way, and they feel like they are back, they're back before they ever got saved. It's like they've forgotten that they've been purged from their old sins. Now, they haven't been. They're not back in their old sins anymore in the sense that their sins are forgiven. They're in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're members of the body of Christ, all that type of stuff. Yet, you can make decisions. You can blind yourself in this world and in this life to the point where you're not able to see very far off. Half blind as a Christian. There's a warning there. I would like to, I'm not going to try to take the whole sermon and talk about my mom tonight, but my mom has been a wonderful example in my life, and I would dare say in many of your lives, of someone that had great spiritual sight through the years. And God used that to be a blessing to me and so many others. And for my dad and my mom to be able to serve like they have for as long as they have, they had to have some good sight and keeping their eyes on Jesus, keeping their focus in the Word of God. To deal with people for a long term, for a long stretch like that, you can't go about that half blind. You can't handicap yourself in that way and be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for the fantastic godly example that God has provided me, and I would say for the church family as well, for all these wonderful years. Praise the Lord for that. But we need to make a self-evaluation tonight of ourselves as believers. Are you seeing clearly? Are you growing in the faith? When I start seeing about adding virtue, adding all that stuff, that's growing. That's going forward for the Lord. That's not treading water. That's not spinning your wheels. That's being what you're supposed to be. We're supposed to grow up in the faith. Thank God we get saved. Thank God he places us in his family, and that family has no end. As I often say, once you get in Jesus Christ, once you're saved and you accept him, you're going to live as long as God lives. And God's calling out a great big family for himself. All those things I often say, yet You can have all those precious promises and be a partaker of the divine nature, but you can get forgetful and you can get negligent, and the next thing you know, you can't see very far in front of you. Right. Half-blind Christian. And then we'd, I guess it'd be appropriate to make a statement about a half-blind country. We can do this. We can see the same example from our country. Galatians 5:15 is a verse I thought of recently. And I don't have the tolerance and the long-suffering and forbearance to watch all the news that my dad watches. But yet, he can stomach it. And I got a weaker stomach, apparently. But we can talk about a half-blind country that we live in today. Galatians 5:15 says it this way, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Right. That's talking about a religious crowd eating each other up. Unfortunate that saved people could act that way, but saved people do act that way sometimes. Yeah. Half blind. But what about our country? I think about this, especially in recent weeks, but I mean, to tell you the truth, each week's like the other. It just gets worse and worse all the time. But I'd have to say my opinion is the downfall of the United States is going to be the United States. The enemy, what's the old saying? We've met the enemy and he is us, or whatever that is from way back when. I think that applies today. There's so much venom and people treating others with disrespect. I mean, it used to be people could disagree when it came to
numerous issues, but they didn't disagree like people disagree today. It's very different. There still should be some respect. There still should be a chance to take the high road from time to time and carry yourself the right way, especially, of course, if you're a Christian. But we should see examples of that in our nation today, and that's very difficult to find. I'll mention a couple names, and this is an example, and I'm not trying to overdo this, but I'd read something. This has been, well, a long time ago now, but back when Jerry Falwell was always in the news, especially with the moral majority and things, you remember how he passed away? I can't remember how long ago that's been now, but we're probably talking seven, eight years ago, something like that. But when he passed away, here's what Al Sharpton, of all people, said about the death of his unlikely friend, Jerry Falwell. And I read this, and this was, I think this was mentioned after someone knowing that Jerry Falwell was always asking about Al Sharpton's son, who had some health difficulties, and always reminded Al Sharpton that he was praying for his son, and was always bringing that request before the Lord. And here's what Al Sharpton said. He says, "I'm deeply saddened by the passing of Reverend Jerry Falwell. Though he and I debated much and disagreed often, we shared a very cordial and warm friendship. He says, I visited him in Lynchburg, dined with him, and even talked with him during personal rises. Though we were as politically opposite as two people could be, I truly respected his commitment to his beliefs." Now, you wouldn't hear that kind of talk these days. In a few short years, people don't act like that anymore. Now if you support certain political figures, you're the enemy already, buddy. You know how that works. I'm not the only one that sees that from time to time. But we have a country that is, to say the least, and maybe this is putting it mildly, is half blind when it comes to these things. And yes, there's Islam. There's all these other enemies we have. But the one that looks the scariest is us, the enemy within. We need to pray for our country. But in the meanwhile, we need to be Bible-believing Christians, following the Lord Jesus Christ, doing what we can do. We can't control them. God actually did not call us to fix this planet, to fix this nation, to fix this world, but he did call us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what we need to do. Let me hurry on. My third application is talking about the subject of spiritual blindness and doing a vision, a sight check. 2 Corinthians 4:4. That verse tells us, talking about those that are lost, who is our gospel hid to? It says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." So unsaved people, unbelievers, why are they remaining in their unbelief? Well, Satan has blinded their eyes. If they weren't blind, they would see that light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, that should shine unto them. Can I ask you a question tonight as a Wednesday night crowd, a Christian, as a believer, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? What's keeping you from fully seeing the truth? What is it? What's holding you back? Now, remember the text. Even though the disciples saw him do many miracles, their spiritual sight was still partial. Their spiritual sight was still not fully clear. He took that blind man, and he could, of course, just spoke the word. He didn't even have to touch him. But he touched him the first time. There's an object lesson there. Then he asked him, "What'd you see?" And he says, "I see men as trees walking." I've heard that explained in many times. The people in the market carrying all the different things and just legs on a big pile of sticks or whatever. I've heard all kinds of explanations for that. But the Lord Jesus Christ never has lacked power. He was God in the flesh. He could speak it and it could be done. He could touch it and it could be healed. He did that for a purpose. He touched him twice for a reason. It was to teach somebody something. And he touched him the first time. What do you see? Well, his sight wasn't fully restored. You might have gotten saved. Thank God for the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That touch can change your eternity forever. That touch can take away your sins and transgressions. That touch can change your life down here on earth and get you out of defeat and raise you into victory. But you can go on with just that touch, or you can continue to feel the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ on you. The same way you get saved by grace through faith is the way you live after, and after you, the way you live your Christian life and walk after the Lord Jesus. For we walk by faith and not by sight, the Bible tells us. So what is it that's keeping you from fully seeing the truth? You know, if you're here and you're not saved tonight, I know it's Wednesday evening, and I know it's mostly faithful church members that are here, but if you're here and you're not saved this evening, what is it that's keeping you from fully seeing the truth, the Lord Jesus. The Bible says if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know, there's all kinds of things. There's religious ways that the truth is hid, the light is hid. People can say, you got to get baptized. Well, that would be seeing through a glass darkly. You have to be good enough. You have to do the works. You have to earn it. You have to provide it. You have to give an offering. All those things, all these works that we hear religious folks talk about, that would be keeping you from turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. To repent and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior means you have to turn to God and turn away from anything that's keeping you from trusting God.
Right.
You got to leave it behind. You got to leave it in the rearview mirror. And you got to fully and wholly accept what the Bible says. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to have all mysteries solved. You don't have to have all knowledge. But you do have to have the faith to accept what God provided for you in Jesus Christ. Don't let anything keep you from accepting the work that Christ accomplished. His death, his burial, his resurrection the third day. No, don't be a blind person in this life. But see the Lord Jesus for who he is, God in the flesh. That provided your salvation. Remember that story? I guess I could tell it this way. About 350 something years ago, a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. The first year they established a town site. The next year they elected a town government. Well, there were struggles, but they kept pressing forward. The third year the town government planned to build a road 5 miles westward. Remember, they're on the eastern coast there. They plan to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. Well, in the fourth year, the people tried to impeach their town government because they thought it was a waste of their public funds to build a road 5 miles westward into a wilderness. Who would ever need to go there anyway? Here were people who had the vision to see 3,000 miles across an ocean and overcome great hardships to get there. But in just a few short years, they were not able to even see 5 miles out of town. What happened? Well, they had lost their pioneering vision. They only could see so far. They saw to where they could get, but they couldn't see any further. Well, unfortunately, as we can talk about some of those early pioneers, we can talk about Christians as well doing the same thing. Thank God for seeing salvation. Thanks God for accepting Jesus Christ by faith. But that's not the end. That is the beginning. God has a whole eternity and all the ages to come. We are his people of purpose. God has called out the church. We're his heavenly people. And he has an eternal purpose for us. And so guess what? He teaches you about that when you're down here on earth on the way there. He wants you to see. The way you're going to see is not by having eyes on self. It's definitely not going to be by having eyes on the flesh or the world. And it's not going to be by having eyes on other people, comparing yourselves among yourselves, because the Bible says that's not wise. But getting your eyes in the book, getting your eyes on Jesus, and the way you do that is by having your eyes in the book. Keep going to the Word of God. Keep growing up in the faith. Make sure, give yourself a daily vision test. Make sure your spiritual sight is improving. Your physical sight might get worse as you live longer, but your spiritual sight can get better and better and gooder all the time, right? That's what God has provided us in Jesus Christ. And so we're his people. And just like those disciples, he had a purpose. By the way, remember, their purpose didn't end in 3.5 years of following him. You ever read in the Bible where there's going to be 12 thrones set up in the kingdom? Read that before? You read how they're going to judge the 12 tribes? Yeah, not Judas, but Matthias. He was there the whole time. But they're going to be there. He had a future purpose for them. And just like when they were here on earth, they wanted to see themselves. They wanted to see their empty stomachs. They wanted to see that they didn't have enough bread. No, he says, no, I want you to see. I want you to hear. I want you to remember everything that I've taught you, and be ready for the things I'm going to show you as well. It's the same message for us today, and God can bless us and help us with that. Let's bow our heads together. It's a message for believers tonight, but as I turn things back over to Pastor Carter, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, tonight would be a fantastic night to accept him as your personal Savior. Don't let anything keep you blind. Don't let anything pull the wool down over your eyes when it comes to these spiritual things and these most important eternal things. but trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm going to pray, then I'm going to turn things over to the pastor. Heavenly Father, we're just very thankful that we can be together this evening. We thank you for the church family, Lord. We're thankful for your word tonight, and as we can go back and look at this story in the Gospels from all those years ago, we know there's a purpose there, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you take and make the right application for us, individual application for us this evening, Lord. Help us to be Christians that are seeing like you'd have us to see. And I know in turn, Lord, we'll be living like you'd have us to live. Father, help us to see other folks saved in the days ahead. Now, Father, I pray that if there's a believer here that you've spoken to their hearts, Lord, I pray that you would grow them up. And Lord, that you just help them with whatever issues or struggles they're dealing with. Father, if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, we just pray for them right now. We come to you knowing that they can get saved the same way we did, Father, by simply accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So, Father, we're thankful we can proclaim these truths this evening, and we come to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, let's stand.